it went like 28, 29, 30. Who won Virtue for FIFA 5?
And you're like, fuck!
It's like, is this a new thing? Is this a variable time? Is this a new standard?
Nah, mate, you were just licking mushrooms in Green Hell again.
Yeah. Oh, Green Hell is, there's a cheap humble bundle at the moment with Green Hell VR in it.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah. It's like, it's all, they've got all VR games at the moment on Humble Bundle. And, let's have a look.
We need to do all that. We need to do that in VR again.
We do. Yeah, there's a few things, but it's currently, yeah, it's 7 games for £25, and Green Hell was VR is one of them.
Oh, there you go.
I think it's like, is that like 30, 40 quid on Steam?
Let me have a look. Green Hell VR. It's just a shame I'm poor right now. Green Hell VR is £10.71 at the moment.
Really?
Is it, I have it.
Is that on sale?
45% off. It's £19.49 apparently normally.
I didn't realise it was that cheap. For some reason, I thought Green Hell VR was being charged at like full game price.
Nope. No, I swear, because I can't see it probably because of the colour. £19.49 is your normal price.
Yeah.
45% off is £10.71 right now.
Yeah. Still single player though, isn't it, at the moment?
I think. Although I would be psyched to go into regular Green Hell now that they've put the actual single player campaign into the multiplayer mode.
Yeah.
So I think that'd be kind of fun for us to go back to.
Yeah. If you want to try a similar game in VR, the Forest VR is multiplayer.
I think I've got the Forest VR. That's just the Forest, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just the regular game.
Yeah. It's got VR mode, and that's...
Oh, yeah, I've got the Forest.
Yeah. And that's multiplayer in VR.
I think we might have to give that... I wonder if Zaber's got it, because Steam now tells you, don't know if someone's got it in the library. Hang on. My friend's already on this game. Oh, Zaber, does it? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Please tell me that the other person's Zaber. No. That's a bollock. Thought Zaber had it. Apparently not.
Oh, plus I'll look at Forest, because I think Forest is cheap enough as it is.
It's, imagine 20% off, £12.39 at the moment.
Oh, really? I didn't realize it's that dear still. It's not horrendous. Right.
Yeah, for sure. For a VR game, it's not too bad.
Yeah. Perhaps I'll give it.
Oh, mate, Zaber, I'd love it because it's got a spear in it.
Yeah, you got spears, bows, and arrows. It is. When you play it, you will find that Green Hell basically was heavily inspired by the Forest, but they improved quite a few things. So that it will, compared to Green Hell, feel a bit clunky in certain places, but it basically plays the same.
Sure.
All construction is still the same, so forth. So I've seen people play it online, but perform VR online, it looks quite fun.
I think we'll have to give it a go.
Yeah.
That means I'll have to bust out my VR headset again, goddammit.
Yeah. Creep around the forest, hunting and so forth, that'll be hilarious.
Running away from a tiger or a crocodile and running into a wall. Good time.
You've got the natives are more aggressive in that. The natives, as your base gets bigger, they'll attack you more.
So fucking gone full Unga Bunga on them ain't going to help them.
Yeah, no. I had at one point I actually moved to an island because apparently they can't swim, so I moved to an island, which I could swim to, and I set up a zip line to like way in way out so I could zip back and
just
forth.
Just hope they don't learn what your zip line's for.
And it's like apparently they can't swim. It's like, oh, this is all right then, come get me. Let me start streaming.
Oh, yeah, sure.
This is a nice little bonus for
you. Oh, hang on, where the fuck is... Sorry, your camera just disappeared on my feed. Oh, there we go, it's back now.
This is a nice little bonus for the audio listeners.
So look, 1, 2. You're only streaming at 3 kilobits per second.
Fucking hell.
Wouldn't surprise me at this point. Congratulations, you are now connected to the internet.
It makes you feel better. YouTube tells us we've got an excellent connection.
YouTube?
Yes, YouTube.
What about Twitch? Because Restream always has a hissy at me when it comes to Twitch. It goes, no, it's fair.
Restream is saying it's out, they're putting out 5 kilobits per second. 5,000 kilobits per second.
Oh, there you go. I was going to say, that's more like it.
Yeah. So
5 is fine for my connection at this point.
Yeah.
Or you want people to actually see your faces, the video part of this. You actually want people to see that. Well, we might be able to give you kind of sound, no video.
Oh, there we go.
Stupid.
Good evening, Suffolk Ram.
Skazius.
Welcome to episode 221 of the Randos podcast.
Now with internet.
Vague internet.
Well, one of us.
Vague internet, yeah. My internet is fixed. I had the nice level 2 man came down who fixed it all, made it work.
He went, look at that.
Yeah.
It's a wire. And you were like, mm-hmm. And he was like, works now.
He came down in a gold-plated van.
Because
he's a level 2 guy, you see. His van was special.
He especially comes in with his suit.
As he got out, like a load of like sort of like servants ran ahead of him and threw rose petals in front of him and led his way towards the router. It was very exciting.
So the modem that he gave you is in a nice wooden box.
Yeah,
ivory.
Yeah, he had Team of Unix bring that in. They saw, it was like, yeah, it's beautiful. He was like, you said, bring in the new modem. And they all came rushing in, you know, like, but like the Ark of the Covenant in Indiana Jones, sort of gently opened it and out glowing this new modem and plugged it in. He said, there's your new router. You should be fine now.
And you think to yourself, my God.
Yeah. He gave it a little blessing. And
I have stood in the presence of God today.
Yeah. Yeah. Sprinkle some holy water near it, not on it.
Because otherwise the magic smoke might come out, but the gold-plated magic smoke.
Yeah. And then he took away and sacrificed the other one. Cut out his printed circuit board in front of all the other dissenters. a big old Stanley knife.
Do you know what's really bad?
What?
I'm the one streaming this, but you're the one with the internet connection.
It's magical, isn't it, really?
Maybe I'm just piggybacking off your connection right now. Maybe it just feels bad for me.
Are you
it's now heard. Yeah. It's now heard what happens. So it's like, yeah. The fear.
Have you VPN to me?
Well, yeah. I've been on your network for months, mate.
I wonder why I've been so slow. I mean, I wonder why because anime-themed virus is turning up.
Hey, I need to get my fix somehow, man. Yeah. Twitter's not good enough for it.
Why did my router start auto-redirecting me to all motorbike websites?
Hey. It's the best adult shit in the UK, I'm telling you. Look at the ass end of that Honda. Mm. Gorgeous.
Yep. Yep.
It's big. It's Japanese. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Apparently my license expires this month.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've got to send off a new license. It said... if you've got a passport, it's okay. If you can go online, you can do it online. We'll take your photo from your passport. It's like, my passport expired many years ago.
You've got the same problem I had, mate, but at least you ain't got to do it during COVID.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so I can't do it online. So, yeah, you can go to the post, it'll cost you more. It's like, so because I haven't kept a passport, because I don't go abroad, apparently that's a big thing now, you can't just do it. No.
So what you're saying is, Ram, you need to book yourself a holiday like every couple of years just to make sure you keep your passport up to date.
True.
And then by that time, right, you'll like, let's say you have a holiday every year. When you next need to renew your passport and your driver's license, well, the money spent on the holidays just makes up the difference you'd have had to have paid anyway.
I tell you what, those yearly holidays to Spain, you know, Italy, Norway, all those places, those yearly holidays really make the extra £2 worth it.
Oh mate, you know,
£2 I've saved. Those holidays have really counted it. Really have. So
is that just because they don't want to deal with the extra photograph, the extra piece of like paper in the envelope or whatever.
So I've got to find a post office to go to now. It's like, good luck finding one of them.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say.
I might as well go on holiday to go find a post office.
Where's he gone? Oh, he's just there. He's just gone over on the. He's in his truck. He's gone over to Nicktopia 5.
Oh, no. No, not Nicktopia 5.
Trying to find a passport. He's trying to find a post office to send his passport.
Nicktopia 5 is just flames everywhere.
So, wait, but hang on a minute. Why has he gone abroad to get his passport and his driver's license done? They won't let him in.
It's easier.
Yeah, Nicktopia 5. No one's going to worry about that.
Yeah, it's easier.
Everyone else gets into the country. I'm sure Ram can get out.
Yeah. Oh, Nicktopia 5. I still hear the screams at night when I sleep.
Mate, it's not just when you sleep. We can hear it constantly.
Yeah, but
it's been burning for years.
I know, but we can sort of, when the wind's in the right direction, you can't smell it anymore. The smell of carrion flesh and death.
I do wonder, though, because I just thought they're all burnt alive by now, but clearly there's someone still there reproducing those screams to keep going.
There's always somebody. There's always some people like, I've lived here my entire life and I will not move. Not going to happen.
Right. Do you reckon there's someone out, like some of the people, like some of them screams are like people who really wanted cheap property?
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I ain't going to be out of my house and lower stuff. Let's go to Nicktopia 5.
Property in Nicktopia 5 is skyrocketing in value. You know, all I need to do is move to London, I'll make millions.
Move it to London, you mean the ashes, just sprinkle it over the road.
millions.
Didn't need to de-ice your driveway, Nicktopia 5.
We've got you covered. Cost living crisis affecting your heating bills? We've got you sorted. We all love coming home to a majestic fire in the evening. Now your whole house can be a majestic fire in the evening.
Ever felt like needing counselling? No? Well, now you do, Nicktopia 5.
That's the tagline, yeah. An awful deposit of just £1 per house.
Nicktopia 5 brought to you by BetterHelp. Or BetterHelp brought to you by Nicktopia 5.
I've got sponsorship with them. I have so many referrals.
Oh, mate.
That's all right. Pass our treatments to City Skylines and we can have the next Nicktopia saga.
Yeah, City Skylines 2. When do we see the next Nicktopia?
Oh, I might well pick it up. That'd be hilarious.
Is it due out soon?
September, I'm going to say, based on no knowledge whatsoever.
I'm just going to take a random stab in the dark. I'm sure the universe will realign for me and me alone.
Let's have a look.
September.
Oh, I was close. October. Oh. So
we're going to have to buy Nicktopia 6 as well.
Yeah, October the 24th. Well, we'll give it a go.
Soon, Ram. Soon.
Soon. Very soon. And then, yes, blood wants once again flow in the streets. It wasn't meant to, but once again it will flow in the streets. Hey, it's been developed in Unity. Why would you use Unity for that?
What were they using before?
I don't know. It can't be using Unity for City Skylines 1. Unity's...
Fuck, I'd love it if you go to City Skylines and it says, Unity, and you'd be like...
I didn't realise that. How did
they make an actual game function in Unity?
Unity's not terrible. No, City Skylines 1 was made in Unity. I'm impressed.
Wow, Ram, you're starting to freak out, aren't you? You're really starting to freak out.
Unity's a fairly clunky engine. They must have liked to rewrite it from scratch. I am
my brain just went, wait, they rewrote Unity from scratch.
Yeah. Well, colour me impressed. Colour me very impressed.
Does that now mean that City Skylines is going to get Game of the Year every year from now until the end of existence? Because you found...
Oh, so you can already buy a CD key for it.
You can?
Yeah.
Wait, for Skylines or two?
Two, you can pre-order it.
Off of
CD keys.
Oh, that's fantastic. In fairness, there was a wrestling game I wanted to get recently that I should have got on Kingwin. Because apparently they have standard edition, premium edition, super mega hardcore edition. Super Mega Hardcore Edition was about the same price as the premium. And then as soon as the game actually dropped from pre-order to regular retail release, that version went away. And I was like, no,
yeah.
I don't want to pay the £700 the game is actually worth.
Talking of limited, you know, premium editions, that sort of stuff, and fancy collector's editions, came to my door on Friday. Warhammer 10th edition.
No one nicked it then?
No, Warhammer 10th edition turned up on Friday.
How do you feel?
Oh, ecstatic. I spent most of this afternoon putting together little plastic men and little plastic aliens. And I ordered some new... And of course, you can't not order a new set of dice.
Right.
I've got literally... And well, once I finish building them, I'll start rolling dice. I have pre-rolled the dice to see how they feel, and they feel very nice. I've gone for grey-coloured ones.
Have you?
Yeah. I've got black and red and blue and green, and obviously I've got plenty of the classic bone, but these are some grey ones to add to my colour collection.
Why grey?
Because they don't have that colour.
Right. Grey.
Yeah.
Is it that annoying grey that the models are, the same grey that everyone's painting their pubs in these days?
No, it's a fairly light grey. It's lighter grey than the models. It's not far off the model plastic, but it's lighter grey than that. It's a nice grey.
You made it out of melted fucking models.
Yeah. It's all the spoos, they sort of jam them together and sort of shave them down and sort of thing. But no, they're nice. I've literally got, I must have like a couple hundred dice.
Is that all? I'm surprised you haven't got a wall of them behind you.
I shouldn't. It's nothing like, you know, when you play a game, say, right, I need to roll my attacks. Let me just get my box of dice. I'll need all those.
Someone get the forklift.
All those. That's like, I'm going to use the blue ones for the plasma weapons, the green one for the flamers.
Is that when people refuse to play with you?
No one ever plays. Because, see, the thing is, I like Warhammer, but I'm really bad at it. So people play with me because they know they can beat me.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. That's how that works.
Yeah. If you can't make friends, just be really shit at something, then people will just come and have shared joy play with you.
Ah.
Top tier for you. Tip for you.
I guess that must be me. I mean, I'm terrible at stuff. So,
I was so bad at darts. I'm so bad at darts that when I play darts with people, they let me ignore the have to start on a double rule because otherwise I'd never start.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So
let's be fair. After a couple of pints, you know, when you hit the cider zone,
we used to have a dart board at work, so there's no cider there. And just, you know, a bit of cocaine. And
just a bit of cocaine. Cocaine and hookers.
No cocaine at work, I'm afraid.
And, only hookers.
oh, there are loads of them. Yeah.
Snorting a different kind of crack.
Exactly. A bit more fishy. Two people used to do nights to me. They are both in darts teams. So I was really on a back foot to start with, really. And yeah, basically, there was at least one match where they had one of them won before I'd even started. So,
that's fantastic.
Yeah. So they very kindly said, we'll ignore the rules, start on doubles for you. They'd still trounce me.
I don't know. I'd probably be a little bit upset by that, you know.
But at least I felt like I could somewhat compete a little bit. At least I could sort of like, it was nice to see the numbers go down a bit for a change. So at least I can get down to the low double figures before they win. Whereas before, I would still be set on 501. So,
well,
you know,
it's the first time I've ever seen my score go below 501. Oh my god.
Yeah, unfortunately, anything that follows physical sports and any sort of accuracy, I'm pretty shit at. I'm shit at bowling. Lucky to get triple figures at bowling. Shooting, you know, I'm not too bad at shooting as long as the clays are going across me, sort of parallel to me. or it's parallel or perpendicular to me, when they go across in front of me, there I can sort of do that. If they come towards me, away from me, I just can't hit them.
In fairness, though, you have zero depth perception.
Exactly.
Right?
So that is actually the ultimate problem of all these situations, is my depth perception just does not allow me to judge it properly. Mm-hmm. So but when they're going side to side, I can sort of, I don't need depth perception for side to side so much, so I can sort of do that.
Are you saying you need like hit scan weaponry?
I do
need hit scan.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I need.
Sort of. Wait, is that the right one? Is it hit scan that we're...
Hit scan, yeah. Basically, it's just an
make sure you click the thing and it goes.
Is it? Yeah, so hit scan is the easy way to do shooting in a game. You have to simulate a bullet trajectory or anything. You just, if the crosshairs are over it, you've hit it.
Good job. Yeah. That's what you need, Ram.
That's what I do.
That's what you need.
So, yeah, what you're saying is I need to take a laser gun with me when I go play next to Grey Pigeon shooting.
Yes. Or I'll just rewrite the code of reality for you. Don't worry about it. I'll get on it.
Yeah,
I'll get on it at the end of the
podcast. Patch that in for me.
No problem, man. Yeah.
I always find it weird this is the sort of Warhammer 40K books and stuff where they refer to las weapons having recoil. That throws me a little bit because that shouldn't be a thing. You know, laser weapon with recoil is like how.
It startled you.
That would explain why the guardsmen are generally pretty shit. It's like, oh, it fired again. Yes,
Start freaking out. Oh, it's so pretty.
sir, there's a big alien over there shooting. Ah!
You're like getting really excited because they can.
Yeah.
Look how cool this is.
Yeah. It turns out that Tyranids are like cats when it comes to lasers, but the guardsmen just get so scared by the laser because they can't just like lose the laser pointer to distract them.
See. Yeah. And now we've sussed it out.
We have.
You heard it here first. Laser pointers.
Laser pointers. Save you from alien invasion. They've,
wouldn't it be weird if that was actually a thing?
Well, I was watching a video today. Sort of first has come out now. It's been deployed for some time. Sort of in testing, but they've now revealed more about the US has revealed their new laser weapon they've developed to tackle like drones. And
right.
It's a 50 kilowatt laser.
Mm.
It's mounted on top of one of their vehicles. It can also be mounted. It's also got a pallet version, which you can put on a pallet and mount it to that. Just put in the back of a pickup.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a 15 kilowatt version that goes to smaller vehicles as well. It is accurate enough that it can basically take out drones, missiles, mortars. Pretty crazy.
So
stuff.
When you say they can put it on the back of a pickup, you mean like the old Toyota Hilux that is rocking around in Afghanistan all the time?
Well, in the video they had, it looked like some sort of Chevrolet type thing because, you know, America, they can't possibly...
America! Yeah.
But it was crazy. So basically, the controls are simple and...
I just got this vision. So what's the UK equivalent? An Astra Diesel?
I don't think there's any British company that makes pickups in the UK. We do make some good military vehicles, though, to be fair. But basically what it does is when it sees a target, it automatically slews the laser around to target it, locks on, lets the operator know, say, hey, I've spotted this target, and the operator basically will just see a video feed from the laser of what it's found, and if the robots kill it, they just pull a trigger and it fires.
No, it's an aimbot.
Yeah, it is. It does it all for you. They just have to literally say, "Yep, die." But the best bit is that in the training for dinosaur, they're using a Satek joystick. It's hilarious.
Oh, mate.
And they're so
it's almost as bad as that submarine that went duff.
Well, you see
that submersible.
The funny thing is, though, everybody really locked on to them using an Xbox, a Satek controller or a thrust controller and so forth, but they've been used by military for loads because, A, they are a very well optimized through so many hundreds and thousands and millions of hours of testing, they've been optimized to the best, a really good configuration. They're surprisingly rugged for the art, and they're dirt cheap. So military use them all the time. Drones are flown with Xbox controllers. And the advantage is half your new recruits know how to use the bloody things straight away. So that was all. People got a bit obsessed by that, but their previous sub they had, which they've been using for about a decade, used the same controllers and no problems. The controller wasn't what
wouldn't trust
the sub.
Them a stick drift.
Well, I'm sure you can be calibrated. It just doesn't mean they're that accurate, do they?
Mate, you're just saying that they're that good. Careful.
No, the big mistake the sub made was let's stick titanium and carbon fiber together.
Well, yeah, not a good idea.
Well, I was watching, they were talking about carbon fiber, and because everybody was like, "Oh, it's carbon fiber, it's terrible." Well, there was they've actually done research. The US military done research into carbon fiber holes for subs. And they think a per carbon fiber hole, if built properly, can go down to about 7,000 meters. So the problem, I think, was the window, which was only rated 1,300 meters, not 4,000, and the fact that they were joined together in epoxy, and the tolerance. I didn't realize how tight the tolerance on a sub is. Something like on a cross section, it's something like 0.05% tolerance. If it's off by that amount, you basically lose like a third of your structural integrity.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a hell of a lot of pressure down there.
Oh, it is.
Hell of a lot of pressure down there.
It is. Yeah.
One ding, you're fucked.
You're dead before you know it.
Yeah.
Well, they were.
Yeah.
They have found some.
Well, that not to sound like a dick, I would say that's probably the one good thing about that whole thing was that they didn't sit there.
They didn't know what was going to happen.
Oh, fuck. Like, just 1 minute they were there, the next minute they were not.
Yeah. That is the situation when it's first reported, that was the best possibility. The idea of if it survived, just gone down, they were stuck down there with just 96 hours of air, they said they had. Well,
that'd have been miserable.
Miserable. Imagine, if you saw the photos inside, it's tiny. You're literally like sort of pressed up against each other. And as some people thought, it's quite possible it could end up on its nose or on its tail. So you could be standing in the standing room. You're in the dark. If there's no powers, you're in the dark, which then presumably wasn't any because there'd be no transmission. It's cold. And you've got 96 hours of oxygen left. That would be miserable.
Yep.
Or worse, the ballast system worked. You lost power, but your ballast system worked. You floated back
to the
surface.
You're up on the surface, and you still can't get out.
Yeah, because you're bolted from the outside, and you literally run out of oxygen. When there's oxygen literally a few centimeters away. That would be worse. I love somebody put on Reddit said, why don't they give them like a tool or something to break through the hole in that situation? Like they have, like the hammers you get in a coach. Like, do you realise how thick that? Do you quite realise? And well, then, yeah, okay. The next person said, yeah, could they like put like a plasma torch or something on board? So, what? What in a confined space that big? You want to use a plasma torch?
Just want to throw out there. The internet. Were they trolling? They had to have been trolling.
No, there
right?
was a lot of stupid people out there.
Mate, and I'm just throwing it again. I would not trust that controller. Not as the single point.
They had four spares on board, and also they wanted to play a multiplayer game like Smash.
Yeah, sounds fair. Not on the Xbox though.
No, not the Xbox. One of them. Not on the Xbox. No.
Mate, if they said to me, "Oh yeah, don't worry about it, mate. We're using off-the-shelf components, Nintendo Switch Joy-Con," I'd be like, "Get fucked! I ain't getting on that."
Yeah, see, accuracy isn't that big a problem. It's in space; it'd be more of an issue where you have to like aim quite finely. That'd be a bit more of an issue. It's like, yay, we've eventually launched the Mars mission. Launched. We're using Nintendo controllers. Oh no, they're going to Pluto.
Whoops.
Oops-a-doodle.
Nah, I don't know the build on that. No, I don't like that. Yeah. I don't like it.
Now, the sub was shoddily built. There's no way of those. But the control was something that people got het up on for no good reason, really.
Well, I mean, really all it had to do was what? Because they had manual releases of all of the ballast.
They had a failsafe where it would dissolve after X amount of time and come up anyway, so that's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
The control was literally just for thrust, what, up, down, and side to side.
Yeah.
So not a huge problem there.
Yeah.
And they did have an issue whereby one of the thrusters was wired on back to front or something like that. And if it hadn't been for them having a game controller in place, they likely wouldn't have been able to remap the controller to control the sub anyway.
I love the fact their solution to it was just to remap the controller rather, you know, turn the thruster around. Given that that sub been down best part 20 times before, you think someone would have figured that out. I think it failed on the window, I think. Because if it'd been down 20 times, it just obviously wasn't designed to have that many cycles. Either that, or it failed at the epoxy join.
Well, yeah, because there was another carbon sub, weren't there, that was supposed to go a lot deeper.
Mm.
But it was only supposed to be used, they said it was built once, one use.
Mm.
It'd go incredibly deep, but if you did it again, it would probably just crumble.
That I hadn't heard much about that. I wonder if that's also partly because until you do it the first time, you don't know how repeated it can handle. So they probably built it on the basis they're going to use it once, and then when it comes back up, they're going to probably pull it apart and see what happened to it. Mm. I can believe it, because that's what you do. So that'd be a sensible way to test something like carbon fibers. Set it down once, bring it back up, and actually cut it up and have a look and see. Mm. And once you do that, though, you can't use it again. So I could see that sort of thing happening. Or if you put that,
they needed more testing. That thing needed certification if they were putting those people on board.
Oh, but you know, but at some point, you know, health and safety certification just gets in the way of innovation, Skaz.
Well, I can just imagine channeling the ghost of Steve Jobs. Yeah. You're fucking doing it wrong. You're using it wrong.
Yeah. It was a user.
It's not a bug. It's not a bug. It's a feature.
He didn't. Yeah, it's part of the Apple Care, part of the sub care plan. It was basically they ignored like industry practice. They ignored everything just for the sake of hubris.
Yeah.
If you wrote a character like because the guy had a brilliant name. It's on its Stockton Ridge or something like that. So his brilliant name sounds like a James Bond villain. If you were a character in a TV series, people would assume that was a joke. You know, he wouldn't come up like, you know, oh, we'll just ignore safety things. People would just think that was a joke. And like, what shocked me more about it though was one guy who went down, this was one of the British guys, he had been down to the Marines, trenched in another sub, which was a properly designed sub. And you think, surely he must have looked and gone, that looks a bit dodgy.
Well, wasn't one of the blokes who were on board part of like the this big group to do with salvaging shit from the Titanic?
That was a French diver. He was ex-Navy, and he'd been down to the Titanic, wreck several times since the 80s. He was a well-known figure in all the circles, and apparently he had been down on this sub before. He'd done it before.
So you look, but mate, wouldn't you have just gone? Nah.
Yeah. There was one guy who wrote in that talked about they saw interviewed who'd been down four times in the bloody thing.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. At least the CEO went down with it, and where he went with it. So it wasn't like it's like he secretly knew it was dangerous, but was like just look at the money. He actually his hubris enough to
Oh, he had faith in it. He had faith in it to be in the damn thing down there that deep. Just I don't know.
There is talk that there is a possibility, because obviously what damages things is the pressure differential and so forth, but certain things like solid state things can survive potentially.
Mm.
So there's talk that if possible, they may end up finding like a SD card or something that might have survived with data.
Oh dear.
Yeah. So that'd be an interesting thing to find and retrieve. Obviously, it's very unlikely, but sometimes they do come across stuff.
That would be a
That'd be a bit grim, wouldn't it?
Mm. They found some human remains, didn't they?
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they found some. They haven't said what human remains they found, because it won't be a lot. But they found something they said they believe is human remains, so I'm going to guess it's like a bit of bone or teeth.
See,
or
now,
something.
I was under the impression, I could be completely wrong, but you know how the old diving suits used to go and the old pressure valve used to break and they'd kind of...
Yep.
I assumed that was what would have happened to them at that depth, at that pressure.
Interestingly, several things would happen. Yes, basically, it's so quick you get squished to, like, jelly, basically. But something else is interesting is when the water comes rushing in, it actually compresses the air inside. Oh. Because it's so quickly, it basically gets superheated.
So you're just kind of...
burnt.
Wow.
They actually described it in, like, the old... when the fresher, the US fresher went down, because it imploded from, like, one end to the other, and because of all the hydrocarbons in it, it was like being the world's biggest diesel cylinder.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, again, it would happen so quickly, you wouldn't know what happened to you. But, yeah, basically, you would have... ironically, it would have caught fire right before it got squished by... because the compression of the air just instantly compressed down, you know, from whatever volume down to virtually nothing. And it'd probably spontaneously combust. So they probably would have got, but in theory, burnt, but then destroyed with water. I mean, it happened so quickly, it would literally be a split second type reaction, but. Yeah, it's
only. How.
Yeah.
I say, not a great way to go, but if there was a way to go at that point.
Would you rather go gruesomely, but so quickly you'll never know about it?
Well, that's exactly what I mean. Of the three options we've mentioned, it's a terrible way to go, but the best.
It's a terrible way to go for the people who are still alive. For the person involved, they don't know anything about it. It's literally, they worked out from the crack forming to you being dead would be about 20 milliseconds. Human reaction time is about 150 milliseconds. So you wouldn't even have a chance to react. So from your point of view, you're alive, then you're dead. So
what did you think to their acoustic fucking safety, the acoustic hull check they were running the entire time or whatever? Like, there's no way that would have worked.
So
because as you said yourself, let's say it was 20 milliseconds or however long, 150 to react, unless that thing automatically triggered and you were like not too far down, that's bullshit. At that depth, you were done. There's no way a crack would have formed and you'd have been out in less than 2 hours.
Yeah, I think the idea was it would say strain before cracking. But a lot of people said, like, from what I read, because I'm not an expert. Strange enough, I'm going to shock you, Skaz. I'm not an expert on submarine design.
Nah, funny enough, neither am I.
Yeah, but from what I read, they said, like, it's one of the things that sounds great in theory, but, again... It goes so quickly from being fine than it isn't, that it probably wouldn't work at all.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, because apparently they don't strain and groan. Well, actually, we have got a submariner we know who we could probably ask about this. Do they strain?
Oh, mate, he wasn't happy with the whole thing at all.
I bet he wasn't.
I've already spoken to him, and he said that was a complete shit show.
Yeah.
And he got hung up on the control pad as well. He was like, mate, just no.
Yeah.
With all the stuff going on, would you really trust your life on a wireless controller with a lithium battery in it?
Yeah. But what I would like to know is when the subs go down, do they kind of hear like creaking and groaning as it goes down? Or is it built such that you can't actually hear any? Because does it like settle as it goes down? I would like to think.
We mean an actual sub?
Yeah, a properly designed sub. As they go deeper, can they hear?
I was going to say that the little putt putt thing that they went down made a shit ton of noise.
A proper sub. When it's gone down, can you actually hear the whole creaking and groaning as it goes down?
I bloody hope not.
Well, I would hope not. I would hope not. It would not make any noise at all. But I don't know. But I would say we have someone who would know. So I'd be interested.
I'll make a call in the morning.
Yes, I would actually be interested to know the answer to that. Can you hear anything in the hole? I would assume not.
I was surprised, actually, to find out, because I'd never looked before. that actual military submarines don't even go down to a fraction of the depth
About 500 metres from what I've read is what they say they go down to. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they go slightly more than that.
I was going to say, because apparently the American one goes down to one depth. The Russian subs outdo that by a wee bit. And then this little putt-putt thing was like, yeah, mate, hold my beer. And
well, the real other answer to that is that it's not economically viable to build
something so big to go
that deep. And it's not necessary.
No.
Don't forget, they've been down the 1960s. Was it 60s? Yes, they went down to the bottom. They went into the deepest part of the ocean in a steel cylinder. And that was like 10,000 meters.
That's terrifying.
Yeah, but that would
take hours.
It was a long descent. Yeah, and they were basically inside a steel bore. Basically, they could just fit the two of them inside. Mm-hmm. And they just drop them down to the bottom of his trench and so forth.
There's something about the ocean that just... Because, my family, we're a seafaring family, we're a fishing family. You know, nothing super hardcore, but it's always like, you know, you respect the sea.
Yeah.
I would say I'm more terrified of the ocean than I am the sky. And... I don't know, the idea of being down there in a metal ball, no matter how much you say to me that thing's safe, I don't know. That just...
Yeah.
Like I said, I was, once upon a time in my life, I was intrigued by old school like scuba diving suits and that, diving suits and that. Yeah. I was just like, when they show you what happens to like human analogs in those things when like a valve fails and you're like, oh, don't like that.
Mm. One of the worst ones I heard accidents about, there's a couple of bad accidents. One's the Byford Dolphin accident, which was basically the reverse of what happened to the sub. There were some, I think it was in Norway, and there were some divers who were in a, because when they do like deep sea diving, like real deep sea diving, they pressurize them. They gradually pressurize them, and then they live on like a ship or an oil rig in like a pressure cylinder, and they live in there for weeks at a time, and they can get dropped down. And they breathe different oxygen to us. They breathe helium oxide rather than nitrogen oxide.
Mm-hmm.
Helium and oxygen, nitrogen oxygen, because that's a different thing. And they breathe like different oxygen stuff, so they can get. And they basically will go down like the bottoms of oil rigs and stuff to do maintenance. They get dropped down in a bathysphere and then brought back up and so forth. But they live inside a pressurized vessel and get stuff passed through. Well, there was an accident on a ship where they accidentally opened the wrong valve and depressurized the whole vessel.
Oh, shit.
And they found bits of one of the divers on top of several hundred meters away on top of one of the habitat buildings. He got pulled through. Shit. Yeah, he got basically massive, rapidly decompressed, and it killed all of them. I think it's three of them.
Bloody hope so.
Yeah, I think it's three of them, and yeah, one got sucked out through like a small porthole, because massive pressure differential. The other one, which was probably worse, was a ship, because they have these on ships as well. The ship was out doing work, and it was a Chinese ship, and it got hit in seas and basically sunk with the divers still on board the pressure vessel, and you can get them out. So they just sunk to the bottom of the sea in this pressure vessel.
And that was it.
That was it. They couldn't get them out. They were stuck down there. And so they're...
Just as a note about the person who got kind of sucked through the small hole.
Yeah.
That's what a load of people are so terrified about with like airplanes. It's like, but it's not quite
possible
that drastic in an airplane.
Yeah. The pressure difference isn't
the harder. Difference on the inside and outside isn't huge, like all that way underneath the water.
Yeah. I'm going to put a link in the show notes to a video called Delta P. And Delta P is basically differential pressure. And it's a safety video. It's quite old. I'd say it's probably from the sort of... Well, I say it looks like it's from the 90s, but being a safety video, it's probably made like mid-2000s. Because for some reason, safety videos are always made with CGI from 30 years previous.
Yeah. Yeah.
And basically, it tells you the dangers of differential pressure. And... it's only about sort of 10 minutes long, and it gives some examples of what happens. But there's a clip very early on of a crab getting sucked through a pipe that's a lot smaller than it. And it's an interesting watch because it makes you suddenly appreciate how big differential pressure is and how much of danger it is. But yeah, you won't get sucked outside an airplane because the pressure difference is not even an atmosphere.
No.
I mean, even the International Space Station, if they get a hole, they put a bit of sticky tape over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that, it needs to be fixed, but it's not a big deal. It's not like they're going to die instantly.
I mean, I can't remember what the saying is, but basically on the grounds that we know more about space than we know about our...
Yeah.
You know, we've explored more of space than our deepest, darkest oceans kind of thing, you know?
Yeah, we know more about... Yeah, probably... Yeah, we definitely have explored more space. But we know more about what's out there, what's survive, because it's mostly empty. They were at I've heard the statement that 90% of the oceans is still unexplored, but I don't know what they mean by that, because do you mean literally like every volume of ocean? Because then clearly, yes, it'll never be.
Yeah, sure.
Or do you mean like air is the ocean? In which case, I think 95% is probably an out of date figure.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure we have mapped more of it by now.
I would just say it seems. It might sound ridiculous, but it just seems so much more dangerous than space.
So I was watching another chap. He was talking about it, and there are different dangers in both things. In space, the dangerous bit is coming back down. Mm-hmm. Re-entry, that's where it gets very hot and so forth. That's the danger. It's dangerous going up. Once you're out there, things can slowly go and mess up your day, but it's fairly surprisingly safe.
Mm-hmm.
And things can go wrong, you can recover from so forth. The other dangerous space is time. You know, time to recover somebody or something goes wrong. It's like when Columbia... when their beer foam fell off the Columbia shuttle as it went up and it got stuck up there. The sad truth is even if they knew that the damaged bit was going to cause the shuttle to explode, even if they knew, it's very unlikely they'd be able to mount a rescue mission, because it's not just a case of, oh, you just put another shuttle on the pad and launch it. It's a bit more complicated than that. You have to get the right angle. So there's different dangers. But once you're up there, it's actually fairly safe. Bottom of the sea, going down, up and down is actually quite safe. The danger is once you get down there, and if something goes wrong, it goes wrong so quickly it's over.
Yep.
So there's different dangers. I mean, overall, I'd probably say safest space is... It's a hard one. What would you say is safer? We've probably lost more people to space accidents than we have to submarine accidents. You think how many submarines there are operating in the world? Quite a lot. How many people died compared to how many vessels operated, how many people died, is probably quite small. It's a lot smaller than if you compare to how many vessels have gone to space to how many people have been on board and died. It's probably a lot higher percentage, I'd imagine. But safe, I would still say it's basically.
Would we say
safer.
That more accidents have happened then in the period of launch to atmosphere than actually out? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Most of the accidents you read about happen during launch or re-entry.
Sure.
That is the most dangerous part. Obviously the famous Challenger disaster was a launch accident. Also, it's when you're carrying the most explosive part of your ship.
Oh, yeah, but, for sure.
Yeah.
There's a big bangy, owie bit attached to your ass.
Yeah.
You want to be as far away from that bit as quickly as possible.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, actually, if there's been any accidents in space. Oh, Jimmy's on. He says, oh, guys, you're cheery tonight. Yes, we are. We're very cheery.
Oh, yeah.
We're always cheery, always happy here at Rad Nerds.
Power of positivity.
Yeah. don't worry, at some point this evening, we'll start discussing games at some point.
Just don't explode. That's the advice. Don't explode. Yeah. And don't get squished.
I can't off the top of my head think of any accidents that someone's died in that happened whilst air quotes, in space. Mm-hmm. It's, as far as I know, it's always been on launch and re-entry. Mm-hmm. I actually cannot think of any. Off top
probably
of my head.
For the best.
Probably for the best. But yeah, you know, it's been a... yeah, it's been an interesting week of disasters. But yeah, I think I would love to go down to the bottom of the ocean, actually have a look around. But I think if I had a choice between going to space or going to the bottom of the ocean, I'd probably choose to go to space.
Take your chances.
Yeah. Yeah. For some reason...
Yeah, I think I'm kind of the same there. The idea that, like, you know, a launch in a rocket doesn't actually take a huge amount of time to get up there.
No.
What? But going down? Hmm.
I have a feeling that in a rocket, though, you're going to know something's wrong before it's wrong.
Yeah. Let's put it this way. If they could ever find the shit stains in my undies, yeah. Like, there'd definitely be enough time to make that a thing.
They're pretty sure that it's hard to prove, there's some speculation that they, when Challenger exploded, they actually initially survived the explosion.
Oh, mate, no.
Yeah. There is some debate where they found, and I think someone said they found the wreckage, some controls have been pressed that would have been pressed in that sort of situation.
Yeah.
Which implies somebody survived the explosion.
That's brutal.
Yeah. So that's why most, they have now got, most of them have got like crew escape modules, I think they call them, on board now, which is meant to, like, if they have to abort a rocket launch with a manned crew, the like capsule's meant to launch off first, get it a little bit away, and then it explodes the rocket.
Yeah. I don't know how true this is, but for re-entry, it blew my mind that the Russians used to effectively eject. Like, they had parachutes.
Well, most shots come down with parachutes.
No, I mean, the person goes, "I'm out, son."
I ain't heard that.
I don't know if maybe I'm just like kind of misinterpreting what's being said, but yeah, they had to pull a chute. They'd effectively have to eject from the thing as they're coming down.
No, I've not. There might have been a design
very
like
early
that.
Days.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Possibly
I don't know.
Very early times. I know that their crew capsules actually said something like in Russian, say, you know, cosmonauts on board, don't be scared, please help. Because there's a good chance you get something real in Russia. I know that their shirts also carry, shotguns, so when they landed, they could be ready to fight off bears, because, you know, Russia.
Sure. Yeah, sure. That makes sense. I'm talking, like, in the days of, like, Yuri, up he goes. Like, really, really early on.
I can believe it really early on they might have had to done stuff like that, but... I could believe it, but I've not personally heard of it, but I could believe it early on. I could believe it. Shall we talk about what happier things, guys?
Yeah, sure, mate. What have you been playing, guys?
We spent 48 minutes discussing death.
Well, I mean, because the only thing I've done, because my internet's been completely crap, all I've been able to do is LAN games, and my youngest son... bought my eldest son Left 4 Dead 1 and 2, so we've just been playing those.
Oh, you must have been thrilled.
Mate, first off, that was fantastic. My youngest son's like, "Here you go, have these. And I was like, "Oh, what, you actually bought them for your brother?" He's like, "Yeah, it was great." You know, I was like, "Oh, wow, that's real cool." He's like, "Should we all play together?" I was like, "Yeah, okay, cool." I didn't think my eldest would be all that into it, because he's not really a huge fan of shooters. And we steamrolled Left 4 Dead 1, pretty much. We've only ever had to restart like twice.
Oh, fantastic.
So
see, youngsters, those bare reaction times is what it is,
mate. It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying to see my like I said, my eldest son doesn't
stop
really play
using an aimbot, son. I'm not dad, you're old.
That's basically what they said to me. I'm like, to see the amount of things I've killed consistently on the bottom. I'm like, all right, I'm done. Cool, you guys carry the team. I'm just gonna stay in the safe house, have fun.
Yeah. Oh, good.
But yeah, because we haven't had any proper internet, I haven't really been able to play. I haven't really been able to play anything. So, what have you been playing, Ram?
Well, Skaz, I've been playing, and I'm actually going to relaunch Steam because I've forgotten the name of the game.
Oh, for God's sake, it was that good.
Actually, I'm really enjoying it. It's called Shapes. That's right. Shapes with a Z at the end.
Sounds great.
It is actually great. So it's basically another one of those a genre of games I quite enjoy doing, which is basically factory games.
For fuck's sake, dude.
So, but it's a genre of the games where you have, like, you know, we've talked about, like, Satisfactory, which is, like, the first-person one, which is really good. We talked about Ultima Chef and that sort of thing. And this is basically, like, it's closer to Satisfactory in some ways, I'd say, but it's a 2D top-down game. Really simplified. So all the stuff you're moving is basically shapes, and you can cut and cut the shapes up, move around, and so forth. But what's neat about it, it's a very laid-back game. It's very bare bones. It's trimmed down to, like, sort of the essential of design the factory. So to build a production line costs you nothing. You're not rated on how many units you use. You're not rated on how efficient it is. You can make the most complicated production line with as many bits in you as you want. It doesn't matter. They don't care. It's the output that matters. So you get basically given this massive big map. This map will have areas. Some areas will be shapes, so they'll be like circles and squares. Some more complicated shapes. There'll be like there's one that's got like, look a bit like a star. There's one that's got like a semicircle one side and squares the other side. And they're usually based on like four parts of the shape. So a circle's in four quarters, a square, four quarters, square is made of four quarters. Other shapes will be combinations of these like base shapes and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very simplified, set of this, and the other thing you have on your maps are like color things. So these are like little things that like, you can use to dye your shapes. And the game, and in the center of your map is what they call the hub. It's got 16 inputs, which you can connect a conveyor belt up to, and you basically have to feed stuff into the hub. What's its first sort of little neat feature is obviously the hub will give you like a goal. It'll say, you want to ship several X of these into the hub to send off and get, and so it might be like, you know, a circle that's painted red, and if you send it in, then you'll get, as you, once you get to a certain amount, you unlock a new tool, a new feature and function and so forth. But you also have like, you can also feed stuff into the hub which isn't what is required. However, there's like research, and the research will want you to basically feed into the hub a certain amount of things. So the idea is, once you set a production line doing something, you leave it. You just set up another production line next to it for your next thing, and that production line that's making one thing will just keep churning over, making it, and that's actually building up research points. And once you submit a certain amount, then you unlock an upgrade, which will make your conveyor belts faster or your tools faster. So you've got sort of two sort of upgrade paths, you know, just general scenes in the hub, which aren't like the sort of like main objective, will get you upgrades to make things faster. And then the hub itself can be upgraded, or you send stuff into it to unlock more tools. And so you build these very complicated factories. So you've got your basic things you have is a conveyor belt. You have a tool that cuts things in half, and it always cut things half vertical down the middle, whichever way you put it in. So if you want to like cut a shape, if you've got a shape that's not symmetrical, you might need to rotate it first so it goes through, so it gets cut in the white orientation. Sure. You've got like a bin that will destroy things that goes into it. You've got things that will take shapes 90 degrees. You've got ones that will combine shapes into a conveyor belt. So it takes one input and it'll either, well, it's multi-purpose. If you put two inputs into it, it'll output onto one conveyor belt. If you put one input into it, it'll split that input into two conveyor belts. So you need to split things up or combine things together.
Right.
You can also use, you also get ones that will paint your shapes. You also get ones that will, what's the last one that has? One that paints your shape, splits, cuts. I can't remember the last one off the top of my head. I'll come to me, I'm sure, in a second. And so it's a puzzle game. It's about, and the thrill comes from, if you're like me, making a very efficient factory. I like thinking, okay, my extractors, oh, that's everything. You have an extractor that basically you have like the little shape it's a grid-based game, and the shapes will be on like little grids and high of the thing. You put a stretcher to pull a ball to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like me, it's like, okay, well, this function takes like 5 seconds to complete, and this thing will pull out one shape per second. So I can split this into five different paths to five different machines, and then at the output, those will be coming through at the same throw rate as the input. And so I like saying that production lines that have no delays. They are literally a constant stream of stuff going through. And so you can sort of like, you'll run it your most efficient. I love doing that. So it's a puzzle. It's optimizing is just fun. And it's something that I can just blitz through. It's great fun.
So not so much questions about the game, but how do you keep finding these? Are these Steam recommendations? Have you bought like a factory puzzle pack? Or
This one came from Humble Bundle.
There you go.
Yeah.
I should have known.
But I do. Steam has now decided I like these sort of games, and Steam does keep pushing these games towards me. So occasionally I get recommended them. The reason I like this one, or I've actually one of my favorite ones I've played, is because there's no real hard and fast. It's all about optimum. It's all about making your factory. You can make it as shitty as you want, as long as you get the output. It doesn't matter. It's not like Ultimate Chef is like, okay, we need to do things at this efficiency rating and you must use too much power. And it's got rid of all that. It's really nice and neat. Really simple. It's so simple. So designed, but it's simple but complicated.
Right.
You know, it's the basic basic input commands are so simple, so straightforward, but it's just so easy. It's currently on promotion at £2.39. Today.
I was going to say, I wouldn't imagine it being huge. What's
$7.99
it normal?
Normally. It's called Shapes.
It's not bad.
And there was
platforms.
It covers. What does it say? Well, I can't see what it says. What platform? Obviously, I swear Steam reconfigures it every time I go on here. Ah, here we go. Windows, Mac, Steam, OS, and Linux.
Oh, wow. So it does actually have a native... I mean, I was going to say, I would imagine games like that would have a native Linux build. That's a very Linuxy mindset.
Yeah. Let me show you the... let me put this... There'll be a link in the show notes for this. There you go, Skaz.
Okay.
There you go, Skaz.
Shapes. Store.steam-powered. So, like, open. Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not very old.
No, it's fairly new.
It's got that's a very clean aesthetic too.
Retro-y. Yeah.
Well, not even it's like one of them like kids kind of cutout books, isn't it?
It is.
If you're going to explain like machinery to a child
and how to like plan and optimize things.
Yeah, it's neat. That looks really neat.
Yeah.
And it's got a demo. Everyone's after a demo. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
But what's also nice is the factory can get absolutely enormous. I think if you watch the end of the video, you can see how big it gets.
One second. They've got a shapes tube. Yeah. Oh, they've done it in 3D.
That's a shame.
Shapes 2 is coming. Release date 2024, but it's in 3D, so it loses the aesthetic bonus points.
I like 2D.
Because I really like the way that looks. That looks really nice.
If you look at some of the pictures later on,
those are huge.
Yeah.
That's like a circuit board, some of the later images.
Yeah, and this is all. Christ. But this is all right from the start of the level. There's no restrictions on how big you can go straight away. There's no limits at all. You can literally start building those massive things right at the start. It doesn't care.
Mate, some of these do literally look like circuit boards. Christ.
Yeah. There's one that basically shows you the sort of, I think it's the third from the last. That's basically the entire map. So those little like coloured areas are like your paints, and all the grey ones are your different shapes that you can put in.
Yeah.
And then right at the centre of that map is the hub, which is where everything goes to.
Can you build something and then copy-paste it across the map?
Yes, you can. Which I just got to tell you. But what it's one of those games that you can literally put on and you can almost like, it's what I call a drunk game. You can basically put it on and you can play it while slightly hungover, not thinking your best, but you can sort of like fiddle and tweak it and so forth.
Sure.
It is pretty immense. I mean, I'm still unlocking more stuff. There's stuff on here I'm seeing pictures, but I've not unlocked yet. I don't know what they do, but I want to find out.
That looks really neat. One second.
Do you not actually think that is...
Shapes. Add to wish list.
I knew that was coming.
Hey, I finally found a game that weren't on my wish list.
Oh, wow. That's because it recently released.
That's it. That's it. My wish list only goes up. My wish list is all pre-pandemic.
Yeah. No, it's pretty... Yeah, it's a real neat little game. It's I can see myself losing lots of time to it, sort of like loading up here and there. I'm going to download it to my laptop so yeah. I can play it on my so I don't have to be in front of the PC to play it. So because it looks cool. Cool.
Honestly, though, mate, I could just do the, I don't know. Would this translate all right to a phone? Is it only on PC? Have they made a phone version or
Well, it doesn't say about a phone version.
Do you think that would be able to work on a phone?
Yeah, I could see it working on a phone. Because basically, you only interact your interaction. You obviously has lots of keyboard shortcuts to help out, but the interface say looks like a computer phone because mainly it's just tapping and clicking. And you know, if you want to, you'd have a rotate command, couldn't you? And just so you have all the great commands you need. I could see it quite easily being translated to a phone.
That turns out, Ram, you might already have shapes in your back pocket. Certainly going, oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whether it be, because some of the setups you have to do are quite complicated, whether that would be a little bit too...
fiddly on the small screen.
Yeah.
Or...
Yeah. No, but yeah, very neat, very fun game. Only positive, 97% of reviews. But I've discovered this is a genre of games I just really, really enjoy.
I'm surprised how many different variants... Well, I suppose I'm not really. That would be a silly thing to say that I'm surprised by how many of them there are.
Yeah.
Because when you think about it, like the Amazing Machines series of puzzle games, there were fucking tons of games like that back in the day.
Yeah. So, I think it's satisfying, isn't it? That's what it is. It's satisfying. And it itches the optimization itch. I think most people like a really elegant, efficient system.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it fills that little niche. Feels good. And when you do get it right, it just feels awesome.
You found anything particularly tricky as yet, or just
no? I mean, you have to plan. I don't just like build. I have to sit down. I just all sit there and plan it out. I have a habit of literally seeing a bit of, well, I ain't got any to hand to show you, but I have got some scrap bits of paper that literally
you've been drawing it out. You've got your actual diagrams up for how you want to go.
Like I did with Satisfactory, I actually like blueprinted it out on paper first, working out all the timings. Like, well, okay, this operation takes 2 seconds per unit. This is 1 per second, so I need to split this between 2 units to optimize it. And like in Satisfactory, if you set it up right and you can just watch this constantly flow of material going through, nothing getting blocked up, nothing getting backed up and so forth because you've done it right. Oh, it's satisfying. So that's what called Satisfactory, I suppose. It is just so...
Engineer's dream.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is an absolute engineer's dream. It's just thrilling if you're into that sort of thing. probably one of the early ones, I think, the genre was Infinifactory, I suppose. I think it's probably an early one in it. That was several years ago, and that was basically the same idea.
Isn't that like Factorio or whatever?
Factor, I think, was after. Was it Factor before Infinity Factor or after? I think it was after.
That's one of the ones you've played as well, isn't it?
I've not played Factorial.
Have you not?
No, it is the same sort of idea.
That has surprised me.
Yeah. Infinity Factor was more like Shapes in that you were starting with like basic, like, and that was 3D, so you're starting with like basic cubes and stuff and then converting them into other things and putting them together to make things. Factorial was more of a production, so you were mining oil, producing a bit more like Satisfactory. Satisfactory is probably like a 3D version of Factorial in many ways. Satisfactory still amazes me how that managed to make it work so well. Honestly, it absolutely amazes me how I can't believe it.
So is that what you're going to do for the next round? No, it's 24 hours then. You're going to be building circuits?
Probably.
Loads and loads of different machines.
Yeah.
Of different games.
I'm just going to build shit for the next 24 hours. And by the time we're done, we'll have a simple production line set up. if you like this sort of puzzle game where you're building things, this is a game I recommend.
Cool.
Any else from you, Scars?
Mate, if it ain't a LAN game with my kids, I've got nothing.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. Well,
I'm hoping we can get through Demio.
I am kind of hoping we get this through time, Demio. That boss, I hate to say this, but I feel that boss, there's a real big luck basis to that boss.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that the other day. I thought, I wonder if our mistake actually was once they start bringing down like the other monsters, we left them, ignored them. Maybe we should have dealt with them, like the bigger, the more dangerous ones, and got them out of the way. Because there's no more of them. Once they're gone, they're gone. So
yeah, that's just dodging him.
Yeah.
At that point.
He's very much a luck-based boss, I have a feeling of.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, every other boss fight we've done, we've pretty much steamrolled in a couple of turns.
Once you figure out the trick.
Or in a couple of goes. Yeah. Even the big Rat King wasn't particularly difficult, but then we even cheesed that one in the grand scheme.
Yeah.
I think in our last, not the last one, but the one before it, we were so close, that was just bad positioning.
That was very unlucky. That was literally, both me and you made the same mistake. We moved to the wrong place.
Mm.
And if neither of us had done that, we would have been all right. but the last we played there, we didn't actually get him down anywhere near as close.
I would say it didn't surprise me, but. Or it doesn't surprise me, but then we didn't have any of the decent cards this time around.
No, we went into that. We were really on the. We struggled like hell. That second floor. Holy shit! That second floor was a nightmare.
That was pure luck. We got through that.
Yeah, although I did like you formed a regiment of spiders.
that was my last ever TikTok. That intro as we went into the third floor.
Yeah.
Where we couldn't move.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we couldn't move. That was actually, because I was actually thinking, because I thought, I wonder if you could have so many monsters that actually you get slightly stuck because none of you will be able to move.
Our survey says yes.
Yeah. Well, you could move. You were lucky. Me and Saber couldn't.
Pichu could move.
What I found most amazing about that was the game was so confused, it put me and Saber on the same square.
Yeah. But you couldn't grab your character.
No, because my character's slightly shorter than Saber's character, so I couldn't pick him up.
Oh, yeah, fair.
Pick him up.
Fair.
So all I could do is select. Oh, every time I tried to pick my character up, I just kept selecting Saber.
Do you think that the new strat is working better, or do you think we should move back to. The soldier, the warrior, the archer, and the thief. Or
I think the hard to say. The warrior can soak a lot of damage, but then that guy can dish out a lot of damage. I think the strat of letting the hands and the other things do most of the work works. What we really need is vulnerability potions so we can soak up damage and hit out damage. That's what we really need going in. We went in, I say, very weak. We had no money to buy good stuff. We went, I mean, you compared to the time before, we went in, we all had full hands of cards and decent cards. Whereas that time we went to,
but that's all
nothing.
Luck of the draw as well, though, isn't it? Because if the shopkeeper doesn't have anything that you want, and that is a random roll, if he doesn't have anything, you're basically fucked.
Yeah, you are really fucked. The time previous, I from memory serves me, I had the opportunity to buy two invulnerability cards.
Wow,
because I had one, and then he had another one available the second time I went to him. And actual fact, Zaber picked one up in the map from a chest.
That's nice to have had all those extras, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
There's got to be some strat where just, like you said, we should probably focus more on the monsters themselves. But it's like, can we DPS them down? Can we nuke them down without them doing enough damage to us to fuck us?
It's catch-22.
Because we are really quite squishy. There's no way we can really restore cards at that point.
No, it's catch 22, isn't it, really, at that stage? Because if we don't take him down, we can get hurt really badly if they all get up to us. I mean, we got. I think one of us got wasted by a Brookmare. Because he himself, actually, he's actually not that big a bother.
No.
He tends to sort of, until he goes frenzy, he tends to sort of keep to himself.
It's dodging the hands that are more the problem. And if the hands aren't hitting him, we're basically bollocks. It would be a lot easier if I were able to get into a decent position. Mm. I could just fire on him every turn.
Yeah.
But even then, it's not ideal. Because again, he's got that big zoning laser he's got, and the thing where he frenzies and just sucks people off the map, however that works. Still haven't figured out how that works.
He doesn't take people off the map, he kills them. They die.
So it's just a one-hit kill.
It's not so much a one-hit kill, it's a normal kill in terms of, in all times that where we've disappeared from the map, we've like been down so many times, we've lost the... Every time you get down, do you get...
Well, no, I just wondered if... Because every time he's hit us with that, even if we've not been down before, we just disappear.
It's just so much down... From the footage, I went over and reviewed the footage again. That's not what's happened. Either we've already been down several times and that's just finished us off, because obviously every time you come back, you know, you can only die, you can only die twice. I think the third time you're gone for good. And that's basically what's happened. We've been down a couple of times and then gone for good. What throws it is the game, they've changed interface. So rather than showing your character is like, your character disappeared, the old interface, your character disappeared. Like the actual icon disappeared.
Yeah.
Now it shows a question mark.
That's, not ideal.
No, which makes it look a bit weird, but it's the same thing. He kills us off, is what's happening. He's just horrible.
We've got to get that fucking thing done.
We have got to get that thing done. I'll tell you why we've got that thing done.
Or take a break and then come back to it.
I tell you why we need to get that thing done. It's because Demio is at least a good 3 hours, and as of next week, I start going to work at 6 a.m. on a Thursday. So, I want to get Demio out of the way.
Yeah, for sure.
So, we're going to beat him this Wednesday. We are going to beat him this Wednesday. And if we don't, we're going to save the checkpoint and we'll pretend we do.
Oh, mate, the stream went down. Oh, no.
Oh, no. No, we won't do that.
We will.
That feels a bit dirty.
Done worse, I'm sure.
Oh, I've done similar things in my in various Let's Plays. Like, oh yes, this is the first time going through this level. Yes, 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 indeed. Yes, yes.
Reloaded 10 times over. Yes. Mate, my lot have a joke about that. We just go, oh yeah, mate, first try. And it's like, yeah, it's probably like the 50th attempt. Yeah, did it. No problems, mate. Figured that out in a heartbeat. So obvious. And you just stood there going, huh?
Of course you did. Of course you did. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But that's what we'll do. So, well, you can come join us for that lovely Demio live stream this Wednesday at approximately 8:30 GMT. You can check out my stream at twitch.tv/thesuffolkram.
And you can check out my slideshow of a stream at twitch.tv/Skazius, SK4ZZI0US, fucking ISP.
Indeed. Is that part? Is that part of the your new?
I'll make a new channel just for that stream.
Yeah. So yeah, you can join us on our next podcast on the 15th of July here on twitch.tv/randnerds or youtube.com/randnerds. Approximately 9:30 GMT plus one. And check out our website randnerds.co.uk. So thank you very much, Ray Boy, for joining us. Thank you for joining us tonight, Jimmy. Oh, apparently Jimmy finds, I'm guessing he's referring to being satisfied. He says, that's exactly how I feel creating all the wrestlers in the new AEW game. Ha ha.
Mm-hmm. So, he's been making a lot.
Good. Well, I'm glad he finds it satisfying. So thank you very much, everybody, and we'll see you in a fortnight.
Rock 'em. Take it easy, guys.
Bye.